Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Ayin Dalid, and we're holding roughly a quarter down the Amud. The line begins Chulyos, and the next word is Amalei to Achvilach. What is this referring to? You remember that we had a series of fascinating stories that we learned about yesterday, mostly with Rabbi Bar Bar Chana. And we're continuing on. Rabbi Bar Chana told us yesterday that one time he was going in the Midbar, and there was a Taya. Taya says Rishbam means a Soicher Yishmuel. A Soicher from the Yishmuel who was accompanying him. And yesterday he showed him some, he showed him the place, the resting place of the Meisei Midbar. And today we're going to talk about other things that that Taya, the Soicher Yishmuel, showed Rabbi Bar Chana. Says Amalei. Says now Rabbi Bar Chana. The Soicher Yishmuel, the Taya told him, "To achvi loch Har Sinai. I'm going to go and show you where Har Sinai is." Azli chazoi dehadrele akriba v'kayimaki chamri chibrisi. So he showed me Har Sinai. I saw it. I wanted to get close to it, but hadrele means it was surrounded by akriba. The word akriba means a scorpion. In the Ein Yankov it says akrivi with lashon rabin, that scorpions were surrounding it, the kaima, and they appeared to be kichamri chibrisa, like white chamoyim, like white donkeys. Shemati basko shemeres, says Rav Bachana, I heard a baskoil emanating from Shemayim there on Har Sinai. Oy lishenishbati, oy woe is to me, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that I made a shvua. The achshav shenishbati mi meifali. Now that I made a shvua, who is there available to go and be mefer? The word mefer is a little bit inappropriate because mefer is really only by husband and wife. We use the term me materly, which should be not me meferly, but even Mesechtas Nedarim, the Gemara uses it somewhat.
It's all allegorical.
It's all allegorical, so but the you're right, but the word is inappropriate. The word mefer is only a husband and wife, or a father and a daughter, he can be mefer. The word hatara is the one that's appropriate for a chacham is matir. A father or a husband is mefer.
Maybe you can spoken Christ like a chassan and kala.
The rules are reversed. Usually, I can spoken as a chassan in the nature of kala.
Perhaps.
Perhaps. Anyway, even a Mesechtas Nedarim, which happens to be the makar for.
What do you say at the end of the neder? You say mutaloch, mutaloch.
Mutaloch. You don't say mufarloch, mufarloch.
No, you say mutaloch.
Exactly. So that's the Rabbi Cohen is now dramatizing and emphasizing this point by pointing out that when the Bezin is mefer, or not mefer, when they matir neder on, it's called Hataras Nedarim, not Hafaras Nedarim, on Erev Rosh Hashanah, they say mutaloch, they don't say mufarloch. Okay, but even Mesechtas Nedarim, the term is used somewhat interchangeably. Now what was the Shavua that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that he said, Halavai, somebody should be matter this Shavua? So the Rishbam says, as we'll see in the Gemara, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said through the Nevi'im that he made a Shavua that Klal Yisrael, because of their sins, unfortunately will have to go into Golus and be in Golus for an extended period of time. Kadosh Baruch Hu has charata, kaviyochel, oyuli, oy, woe is to me that I made this shvua, halavai, somebody should be matar my shvua. And that's the end of this part of the story. Says Rabbi Chonik, so the Kamad Rabbanim, afterwards when I came into the Smedish and I told them what happened, omrili. And this is the same expression we had in the Gemara yesterday, kol abba chamra, kol barbar b'chona, sichsa. Abba is referring to Rabba, like Rishbam pointed out yesterday, because his real name was Reb Abba. And the Gemara contracted the two words, made a contraction, and made it Rabba. And Bar Bar Chana, of course, that was his name. And therefore, Kol Abba, Reb Abba, is Chamra, unfortunately, like a Chamor. Well, Bar Bar Chana is Sichsa, unfortunately, he is a Shoita. These are not complimentary terms, but what they were telling Rabbi Bar Chana is, since you heard that, Hayuchaloimar, Mufalach, Mufalach, you should have screamed out at Kodesh Baruch Hu, since you heard this Paschal. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, halavai, somebody should be matir. You should have been matir. I mean, that's why you were there. Why didn't you say something? Says now Rabbi Bar Chana, the reason why I didn't say anything, I was afraid that this is a shvua that Kodesh Baruch Hu made, that he was never going to go and bring a second mabul. How do I know Kodesh Baruch Hu made a shvua not to bring another mabul? It's a pasuk in Yeshaya, Asher nishbati mi'avor mei noyach. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, I made one mabul, but I'll never make another mabul again to go and destroy the whole world. So I, Rabbi Bachan, was afraid that that's the shvua that he's referring to. And if I'm going to be mat shvua, that means HaKadosh Baruch Hu can bring a second mabul to destroy the world. I didn't want to destroy the world, and therefore I kept quiet. I didn't say anything. Why did the Chachamim believe, why did they feel so strongly that this shvua had to do with exiling the Yidden in Golus and not about the mabul? Says the Gemara, Rabbanan, Im Kain Oili Lama. Why did a Kadosh Baruch Hu say in this Baskoil, Oili Shenishbati? After all, that the Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't bring the mabul, that's not a terrible thing. It's a wonderful thing that there hasn't been a mabul since Noach until today. So it's Givaldik. Why Kadosh Baruch Hu say Oili? However, if it's talking about sending the Yidden into Golus, I can well understand why Kadosh Baruch Hu would have Charata and would say, woe is to me that I unfortunately sent the Yidden into Golus.
Does the portion add anything? I mean, it says white donkeys. Here, Rabbi Hanina, the white donkeys are deadly. No. So does the portion add anything to that Nakuda?
The portion add a lot to virtually every Nakuda over here. I suggest you look in the Maharsha, in the Maharal, in the Goin, and if you want to take the easy way, you look in the Art Scroll, who also has copious notes about every facet of the Gemara. Amalei. So now, after we finish the story with the Mesa Midbar and with Har Sinai, now the Taya said to Rabbi Chana Omalei to Achvi Lach Blui the Koyrach. I will go and show you now where the Koyrach and the Choladosai, where they are Blua, where they are swallowed up into the ground. Is Chazoi Trei Bizi? See, he showed me two cracks in the ground. We have a Kamavki Kutra, and even today, hundreds or thousands of years later, there's still Oshan. Kutra means Oshan smoke, which is emanating from those cracks in the ground. Shokal Gavva di Imra, I went and took a wad of wool, v'am shine b'maya, and I went and dipped it into the water, in other words, it should become nice and wet, udatisa b'roish d'raimcha, and I went and placed it at the top of a spear, v'ayli hosam, and I took the spear, and I lowered it into those cracks in the ground, v'chiyafik, when I removed it from those cracks, havi ichruch, ichruchi, they were singed on all sides, even though it was fully wet when I put it in, but it came out nice and singed. In other words, the fire is still going on downstairs by the Adas Koyach. Now, Omali, so said the Taya to me, Rav Vachana, Ot is my Shabbos. Listen carefully, what do you hear? The Shabbos, and I heard the Hava Amrin, that there was a call coming out from down below, Moshe Miserusi Emes Vehein Badoin, that the truth is that Moshe Rabbeinu and the Torah is all Emes, and we, the Hain, meaning them themselves, that the Bnei Koyrach, the Das Koyrach, are all Badoin, all are falsifiers. Omali, he told them, I want you to know, this is not just something that you hear today, but rather, Kotlos and Yoimi Mahadlu Gehenim Lahocha, Kibosa Bikalachas. Every 30 days, this repeats itself, just like a piece of meat that you find in a large pot, where it explains Rishbam, so that the meat should be evenly cooked. The cook will constantly turn over the meat in the pot from time to time so that it should be cooked in the top and the bottom and the sides, etc., etc. So here too, the world is constantly rotating and going back and forth, so every 30 days, this basco comes out yet again. The Amrin, it says again, Bamihachi Moshe's Rusi Emes Vehein Badoi. Omali, so now the Taya says, Vait, to Achvi Loch, I'm going to show you a place, Eich Denashki Ara Urakiya Hadodi, a place where it's one of the highest places here on this world, and therefore it appears to be as if it is giving a kiss or touching the Rakiya up above. Not literally, but because of the height from down below, and probably you see clouds coming down, it looks like the two are touching each other. So I came there. And now the Bach leaves out, brings in a couple of words that the Gemara leaves out. I don't see the Bach here on our Omid. But
it's a second
on the upper
right.
Second
upper right?
Gimel?
Yes. The Rakiya had many windows.
Oh, it's a Goyse Bach in the left-hand side. Thank you.
Many windows.
Yeah, Shkoyach. Ara Uraki Adodi Azli Vichazoi Di Ovid Kavi Kavi. So says now Rav Bachana that I saw that that part of the Rakia that came down, it had in it many windows. Since it had many windows, I decided to go use this for tachlis. What was my tachlis? Shaklis a little soy, asnachta bekavsa de rakia. I took my silsoy, salsoy, he says, Rishba means my sal, my basket, in which I had my various things, and I placed it in the window of the rakia, of the horizon, or of the sky that had come down. Similar to, we have over here a window between the mismedrish, people often put over here their talis and tefillin, and other things in that, on the windowsill, in the window. Good. Says now, Rabbi Bachana, Adam Atzilna, I went to go and daven, and Baruch Hashem, I caught a minion, and everything was fine, and Rabbi Cohen had the yortzeit, and he davened so beautifully for everybody. And after davening was over, Be'isei, I went to look for my sal, and guess what? Le'ashkechisan, I couldn't find it. And I said, Aminalei Ika Ganviyacha, here in Shemaim are there Ganavim, Numa Mela down here on this world, unfortunately, are Ganavim. Not in Abbas Medish, but in other places. But in the windowsill, in the Rekia, there should be Ganavim. Amalisa, the Tayyi said, no, you don't understand. Hai Galgala, the Rekiahu, the Hoda. Nitar Adlamacher. What he told him is that what's going on is you're looking at the Rekia, and the sun and the moon and all the constellations and the sky are constantly on the move. They're rotating on their axis, and therefore, the reason why you don't find it in the windows that you're looking at, because these are not the same windows that were there an hour ago, these are brand new windows. The old windows have moved on another twice miles or whatever on the horizon, up or down or to the right or to the left. But Nitar, wait until the Mocha, until tomorrow. And if you wait until tomorrow, guess what? It'll come back again. Kihashta, the Rabbach adds the word Kihashta. Netar lemocher Kihashta. Wait until tomorrow about the same time, and you'll see. And guess what? Ha here. Umeshkachasan, you will find it. And guess what? Taki came back the next day, and he found it in the same kavra, in the same window. Says now the Gemara. We have until now Rabbi Bchanan. Now we have Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan Mishtoi. Rabbi Yochanan told us the following: Zimnechad Avikah Azlina Misfinta. One time I was going on a boat on a ship. Chazina who kavro the afkalereishim miyama, and I saw a fish that stuck its head out of the water. V'damian enei, and its eyes looked like kitrei siari, like two bright moons. V'nofitz maya mitar tizimei.
See, you remember to translate all these words.
Yes, it's a good synergy. Maybe they're giving you another different translation. This obviously was a very large fish, that the two eyes looked like two moons, and water was coming out of its nostrils, a gushing amount of water, like two mebri. Rishbam says mebri means rivers, like two rivers in surah. Therefore, you saw from the two nostrils of this fish, looked like two large waterfalls coming out as if it's two rivers. Rav Safra told the following story. One time was going on a boat, on a ship, like we said before, that the fish was protruding, the head was protruding from the water. And it had karnayim, meaning it had horns. And on the horns was etched out, Ano Beriakalish of the Yam. I want you to know I'm among the smaller Berias in the Yam. Bavina Tlasnea Parsi, and I myself am 300 Parsois. Wow, that's one of the small Beriakalis, can you imagine?
Yeah, what's more amazing is that it etched on its horn in Aramaic.
That's even more, okay. I think both of them are pretty amazing, but fine, I agree.
Take your point.
Yeah, we take the point. It's very pointed. Bazilna Lepuma Dilavyasan, and says this Kavra, my eventual fate will be that I will be the food for the Levyasan. I'm going to go into the mouth of the Levyasan, and he's going to go and gobble me up, and that'll be his food. Amravashi, Ahu Iza the Yamahu. The name of the fish that you just described is called the sea goat. And the Rishbam brings from the Gemara Masechtas Chulin, three lines from the bottom. Shekol ma sheyesh bayabasha yesh bayam chutz min hachulda b'shchitas chul. Any type of animal that you see here that's walking on the surface on the earth, because Bochur created an identical type of animal, not an animal, but this would be a swimming mammal that goes in the water. So therefore, just like you have a goat out in the open, you also have a sea goat. The bechisha, the word bechisha means that it's exploring or it's spying. And what does that mean that it's spying over here? Rishbam means that it's spying for food. It's a scavenger. That's the next Rishbam. The bechisha, choyferes b'yam b'karnel, it uses its horns to dig into the bottom of the sea. The vakish achem is said to go and find, mezonis to go and find food. So it's a scavenger looking for food. V'yislakarni, and it has karnaim, and in fact it has horns. So that was Rav Safra. Now, Rabbi Yochanan Mishter, Rabbi Yochanan told the following, Zim l'chod ha'ave kozlin, and besvint, I was going in a ship, v'chazina hi kartalisa, and I found a box, to have a komikvi bo avonim treves emagulius. It wasn't just a box, but embedded in the box, on the top, on the sides, were beautiful, precious stones. V'hadri l'mini d'kavre, and a room surrounding this box, were different types of fish. The Mikri Karsha. The name of the fish is the Karsha fish. Nochith Bar Amiroi. Bar Amiroi means a diver. Went at La Asuya, he dived into the water. La Asuya to go and bring up this very precious stone embedded box. Verogash. And the fish that was surrounding the box felt it, they were margish, they realized that there's a diver here, and they wanted to get rid of him. What they tried to do is, chas v'sholom, to go and schlep off his leg, his thigh. And he realized that they were on the attack, and he came prepared. What he did was, he brought along with him a bottle of essig, essig is vinegar, and he threw it at them, and when they smelled it, they immediately ran away. Benochas, they made a plate, yeah. And Benochas, and he was therefore able to go down to the Kartler to get the box. Doesn't say whether he brought the box up or not, just says he was able to now get to it because the fish ran away. Navi Baskola, a Basko came out and Omelon and said to us, "My Islechu Bahadi Kartelisa, what are you busying yourself with?" Still here for tomorrow and Shabbos, but we might not see you. But you're leaving Matzah Shabbos, right? The Chaim and the Shulam have a wonderful Yantiv. Kosher Freilich and Yantiv. You want me back after Yantiv?
Only back after.
Okay. Would you like to do express any views as to when we should damage in Cholamoid or anything like that? Okay. Yeah, I'll speak to you about it. Zad Gizim Tatzlucha, have a wonderful Yantiv. My Islach Abadi Kartalisa, the Debisu, the Rabchinina Ben Doisa, why are you bothering with this box? This box is not just a stama box, this is a box that will be used by the famous Rebbetzin of Rabchinina Ben Doisa. Barry often quotes the Gemara about Rabchinina Ben Doisa that Daila Bekav Charuv Me Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, a Gemara Mesechus Tanis. The Gemara tells us over there that the Debisu, the Rebbetzin, said to Rabchinina after a while, "You know, this is a very, very difficult life of poverty that we are living. Could you possibly see what we can do, be mispal to the Rabbeinu Shalom, that we should be able to have more parnasa?" Could also be because she ran out of recipes for charuvim. How many different types of recipes can you go and have for charuvim, Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos? Anyway, bottom line, he was talking mispal, and the Gemara told us in the Masechtas Tanis that magically came down from Shemayim a golden leg of a golden table, and each one said to the other, "Oh, we'll sell this, we'll make a mint, and we'll never have any more problems for the rest of our lives." And that night, either he or she had a dream that golden feast, actually the dream goes a little bit differently. They saw that all the tzaddikim l'asad lavoi are sitting in Olam Haba in a large, large dining room, in a large hall, and they're all sitting at tables that have three legs, and the table of Harina ben Dois and his Rebbetzin only had two legs. And then they realized, we know what's going on. This golden leg is from that table, which means that Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving us, in this world, the schar that was otherwise mezumen l'asad lavoi. Therefore they were mispal, and a hand came down from Shemayim and took back that golden leg. I think Morris says about that, that Godla Nesa Achram and Arisha, the second nest was greater than the first nest. Because that's the Kadosh Baruch Hu's mashpia, toiva and broch on this world, that happens all the time. The Kadosh Baruch Hu should go and take it away, that is a very, very rare occurrence. Anyway, we see from that Gemara the koyach of Rav Chanina ben Doisa and his wife, that the whole world was living in their schus, in his schus, and her schus. Anyway, so the Gemara tells us that this Kartalisa probably not that it belongs to her now, because if it belonged to her now, then why wasn't she a rich woman? Or could be because she didn't have control over it in possession. It was down in the middle of the yam.
Okay, she lived much earlier than she. This is Rabbi Yochanan, I think, right? Yeah, Rabbi Yochanan.
Okay.
So this is much later. I think this is much earlier, isn't he?
Regardless of who lived earlier and later, the question that I'm asking is, if the Gemara in Masechet Tanis tells us that Rabbi Chanina ben Dois and his wife lived in abject poverty, and the Gemara is telling us that there was this very, very
valuable
argos that had embedded in it all of these precious jewels. And the Gemara is telling us it belonged to Rabbi Chanina ben Dois, so she should have sold it and made money. But the obvious answer is, she didn't have it. It was in the bottom of the yam. That's why the diver was trying to go and get it. If she would have had it, she could have sold it. But if it's in the bottom of the yam, she can't get it. But even more importantly, as the Gemara explains, not necessarily did she have possession of it at that time, or ownership of it at that time, but rather that the Rebbe Tzim Chin Ben Doisa Asida the Shadiyat Chelta Ba the Tzadika the Alma de Asi. Eventually, what she is going to do is she's going to go and throw into this box Tchelis, which means tzitzis, for the Tzadikim, for Oilam Haba. Now, if you notice right next to the word Didibisu, there's a small little asterisk, and that asterisk takes us to the Gilyan Ashas. Gilyan Ashas is on the left towards the bottom. All he says is Ayin Barosh Perigdal the Gitin Simon Memvav. So I was curious as to what it says in that Rosh, and I looked up the Rosh, and the Rosh brings there from the Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam says that women are possible from making kosher tzitzis. A woman can make tzitzis if she wants it, but it would not be a kosher tzitzis. He brings a raya from other Gemaras, and basically because kosher eni mitzuv va'oiseh can't go and do it, and therefore they are not qualified to make tzitzis.
But the mitzvah is to wear it, not to make it.
But the mitzvah is to wear kosher tzitzis. If you're wearing non-kosher tzitzis, it's not kosher tzitzis. If a goy, for instance, puts together a talis cotton or a talis godel and makes the most beautiful tzitzis and he puts it in and he says, l'shei matzis mitzvah, or he says, l'shei mitzis tzitzis, and he winds it and does it and all the rest, it's not a kosher talis because it was done by a goy.
Women can make the chutzim though, can't they?
Anyway, so the good news is, says the Rosh, I have arrived from our Gemara here that a woman can make tzitzis, because the implication of our Gemara is that the Debisu, the Rebbetzin, Rebbe Chinim and Doisa, Gizuntai, she made tzitzis. Now the Lashon of our Gemara is Asida Deshadiyat Chelta Ba, which sounds like she just kind of threw in tzitzis into the box, but there's another Girsa, and that the Rosh has over there, which sounds like that she threw tzitzis onto the beged, a beged that had on it holes in the quarters, and she threw in, and she, what would you say?
Completed to make it tzitzis.
She completed it to make it into tzitzis.
Could a woman write tefillin?
A woman certainly cannot write tefillin, that's for sure.
Why, somebody did wear tefillin?
A woman can wear tefillin. We're talking about making tefillin.
So the person that wears it should be able to write it too.
But they're not mitzvah. They can if they want to. But women want to.
Can be a sacrifice.
Today they shouldn't wear tefillin because it brought in the Ramah or other paskim that Kvarnoa goes
to
life.
To me, the woman should be in a certain place only, period. I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Avastamakasha.
Yes,
Rabbi. Kain Gadol, Kain work Gadim, and this Mikdash, made by Israelim. How's it possible?
Because we have to.
What do you mean?
Israel made the Kohanim.
That's the same profession in the Torah, because Baruch Hu told there were no other Kohanim at that time.
No,
in fact, the Kohen Gadol only became Kohen Gadol after the Begun.
The Kohanim were Mitzvah, is your question.
Right, they're not Mitzvah, the concept, conceptually. If they're not Mitzvah and beaten to bring the Kohanim.
Our role is to serve them, and this is a way to serve them, maybe.
Likewise, let the women be able to make tzitzis for men. What's the difference?
So the Rosh Taka Paskins that women are allowed to make tzitzis for men.
And
Tom disagrees. I think we're talking about inserting them in the holes. But
in talking about tying the tzitzis.
I believe so. I believe so.
Not the practice, though. But I think very often women make the chutzim are spun on a spinning wheel if they're a bosh yad. I think very often women do it.
It could be. I didn't really delve into it in that depth. I just know that that's the, those of you looking in the Gilyan Ashas wondering what would the Rosh be bringing about the Mr. B'chinim and Doisa. What he brings over there is that the Rabbeinu Tam held that women are disqualified from making tzitzis, and the Rosh says, Eberai from our Gemara, the Rebbe B'chinim and Doisa, she in fact threw tzitzis, or she completed the tzitzis by putting them through the holes and making the tzitzis for the tzadikim, the osid lavei.
Would he have that differentiation between men and women wearing tzitzis?
It says recently. It says if Klal Yisrael doesn't say it specifically, why should the men wear tzitzis and why should a woman not wear tzitzis?
So Barry points out it's a mitzvah sasesha hazman grama, which means you only have mitzvah tzitzis during the day. You don't have to wear tzitzis at night. But you know the famous story with Rabbi Soloveitchik. There's a famous story with Rabbi Soloveitchik, Shechen Levrucha, that a woman came to him and said she very much wants to be spiritually uplifted and she wants to go and wear a talis. She asked him for permission. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said, it's a very good question. Let's try it out. Try it out for a month, but without tzitzis. Go and buy a talis without tzitzis, put it on for a month, and come back to me after a month. So she wore the talis without tzitzis for a month. A month later, she comes back to Rabbi Soloveitchik. Nunu, oi, I felt mamasha, almost up to Shemayim, givaldik, and therefore she wants to put tzitzis on. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said, it's obviously all in your mind, because a talis without tzitzis is just like wearing a coat, like wearing a blanket. It's gunish mekunish, and if you have a vivid imagination that you've gone spiritually elevated, it's all nonsense, because without tzitzis, it's meaningless. So therefore, whether she did put on tzitzis afterwards or not, I don't know, but that was his psak. So showed chokhmah. Showed a lot of chokhmah. Anyway, continuing on the Gemara. Gemara now tells us another story. Rav Yehuda Hindua. Now the word Hindua sounds like a Hindu from India, but in fact on the side it says that it was from Ethiopia. Anyway, so Rav Yehuda from Ethiopia, Mishtoi, he told the following story. Zim lechoda hab ozlin mesvinta. I was going on a ship, chazinahu Evan Tova, and I saw this beautiful stone, to have a hodr lo tanina, that there was a tanin, a serpent, that was surrounding this stone. Again, Nochas Bar Meroy, Lasuye. So a diver went down to go and pick it up and to fetch it up. Also, the Tanina, this serpent that was there, Kaboy Lemivla Lolisvinta, decided instead of trying to go and swallow up the diver, he's going to go and swallow up the entire Svina. It's also Pishkansa. We had this already Gemara yesterday, the Pishkansa. Pishkansa is a female raven. Pasculareshe, and went and cut off the head of that tanina, of that serpent. Esapichu Maya, as a result, the blood which was gushing out from the decapitated serpent came out, Vavadoma, and the whole water turned bloody, it turned like a dam, like in Mitzrayim. Also tanina chavre, so now a second tanin, the chaver of the first tanin came, Shokle, went and took the Evan Tova. As we'll see in the Gemara, this stone had miraculous qualities to it, and took it, v'talyalei, and went and put it on the first serpent, v'choyin, as a result, it was tchias amazim, that first serpent lived again, presumably that the head got reattached to the body. Hoda asa, once again, the diver came and he wanted to take away this precious stone, kaboy ba'lesvinta, and once again, the serpent wanted to go and swallow up the entire svina. And again, the same tzipa, meaning the same raven, the Gemara referred to as Pishkansa, came, Pasculareisha, and again decapitated the serpent. So now Shaklua Lahi Evan Tava, instead of a second serpent taking the Evan Tava, now the diver got hold of this Evan Tava, and Shadur Lesvinta, and he threw it into the Svina to take it home. Havahani Tzifri Malichi Bahadon, there were some salted tzipoyim, some salted chickens or whatever that presumably people are going to eat. And since the diver had already seen how this Evan Tova caused chias amesim with that newly decapitated serpent, he figured, let's see what it does chias amesim on things which are already dead from before. So he went and placed it on those salted tzipoyim, salted birds, badon, which were there together with them in the svina, or svina elayu, and he put it down on top of them, shaklua uparuchulo bada. So what happened was, in fact, they did have tchias amazim, and now these tzipoyim went, they took the Evan Tova, and they flew away, they flew the coop together with the Evan Tova, that, because of the tchias amazim, that this diver made for them. So we see that not only was it able to go and do tchias amazim for the serpent that was just killed, but even for these old tzipoyim that were already salted. Turn about Masim Reb Leizer Reb Yeshua, Shohi Yeboim Besvina. Reb Leizer Reb Yeshua were going together in a ship, Boy Reb Leizer Yoshin, Reb Leizer was sleeping, and Reb Yeshua Neger, and Reb Yeshua was up. This is Dazei Reb Yeshua. all of a sudden Rabbi Yeshua started shuckling and trembling. So much, the Nina Rabbi Lezer felt it from the vibrations that he woke up. Amalei, he said, Mazi Yeshua, and the Mazin Zazata, why are you shaking? Why are you trembling? Amalei, Rabbi Yeshua said, Mor Godul Yisibayam, I saw this very intense, big light there down in the Yam, in the water. Amalei, Shema Einav Shalav Yasin Reisa. Maybe it's more godly that you saw. Maybe there's more godly that you saw were the eyes of the Leviathan. If you remember, we had the Gemara in the Yomar Aleph that this fish had these huge eyes and they looked like two moons. So maybe that's the eyes of Leviathan you saw.
No, that was the seagoat. That was the food for Leviathan. I didn't mean to say
that that was Leviathan in the Yomar Aleph. I just meant to say that you see that these fish that have these eyes have eyes like the moon.
Could we
similarly that the Einam Shel Leviathan also emitted such a wonderful, wonderful light? Anyway, says the Gemara, so maybe you saw the Einam Shel Leviathan. He said, "Dechsiv Einav ki apape shochar." The eyes of the Leviathan have like the eyelids that you would go and close. Why? Because of shachar, because of the tremendous intense light that you have shachris in the morning. So in other words, these eyes emit a huge, huge light, and maybe therefore we're talking about the light of the Leviathan. And by the way, we're going to bring a number of psukim now that refer to Leviathan by name. You shouldn't think the word Leviathan is just a Rashi and Chumash. We're going to have now psukim shortly where Leviathan will be identified. So the eyes of the Leviathan had this tremendous intense light about them. Omer Ravashi, Omli Huna Barnosin, Zim Lechoda Avikazlin Bimidbar, one time we were going in the Midbar, V'hav Atma Debisu V'adon, we had together with us an Atma Debisu, means a shank part of the meat, which is usually on the leg part, on the thigh. Pasachna V'nakrina, we went and opened it up, and we were menaker it, Lashon Nikur, to go and take out the veins and take out the chalev. Vanachna aizbi, and after that we put it down on some asim, on some grass. Adam Aisinan Tzivi, by the time we came back and brought some firewood to be able to go and roast this piece of meat, cholam atma, the atma had again the azar refuah shalema, that all the innards that we had taken out, that we had been menaker, all miraculously returned into the atma, and now the atma was one piece again. The tavinan, and we roasted it now as one entity. We are going to mit Shem on Erev Pesach when we bring the Korban Pesach. As you know, it says in the Torah you're supposed to go and roast it al krov, al kirboy, the whole thing together. So here too, when he roasted this atma,
it was all together.
Ki hadron, afterwards, 12 months later, lebasa treisi achishata, we came back to the same place where we had originally been here in the Midbar, Chazin Lano Gunmri, and we found the coals which we had used a year earlier to go and roast this meat, to have become a lachshi, that they were still cooking, that they were still going. When I came in front of the Meimar, I told him, can you imagine 12 months later the coals of that meat were still burning? And also about this Isva, the Esav, that caused the Atma to get all of the insides back in. Amaliyahu Isva, the Esav that you're talking about, Samtri Hava, it's known as Samtri, that's its name. Hano Gumri de Risma Hava, and the coals that you're talking about are from the Roisim wood. Now what does it mean that the Esav is Samtri Hava, that's the name of it? So the Marsha says that the Samtrei is really Rosh HaTevis, or a contraction of two words. Sam means like a potion, like a medicine. Trei of the two pieces, meaning until now the Bisra was in two separate pieces. I had the Basar and I had all of the fats and veins which I took out of it when I was Menakarit. And then this potion, this medicine, miraculously got the two merged together once again. That's how it got a name like Samtrei, the Sam for two. What's so special about the Roisim wood that we spoke about? That the Gumri comes from Risma. So Rishbam says because the Roisim wood burns for a very long time. If you look at the Rishbam, the Risma Roisim she'en gecholof kovim mehera. It's about 40% down from the top of the oven. Roisim wood does not easily extinguish. It goes on for a long time. Okay, so Zudimori Yatzvaita.
What's the resolution of a lot of these stories? Do they seem to just tell you something that and there's no, it's like almost like a statement.
Well, remember, the Rambam at the very outset said, "Kol hani uvdi de kachoshi mishem rabu masecha Hashem." First, I want to show the great koyach of Hakadosh Baruch Hu's masim, that things that we don't normally see, there are miracles going on all around us. All to tell us the matan tzchorin shel tzaddik and losa lovoi, and to go and explain psukim in Sefer Eoyv about these huge oifois and the haymois and dogim gedolim. She calls zichas tamidachom and zvichas tamid. If you want to know specifically, each one of the stories is a homily and explanation from the Gra and from other things, from others in the art scroll. It says in the pasuk, Kadosh Baruch Hu created the great serpent. What are the great serpents? Here they said it's Arzili Diyama. What says Arzili? We had this word already yesterday in the Gemara. Arzili means Re'emim Shebiyam. The Torah says, Ve'karnei Re'em Karnav. Re'em is a behemoth. It's a very, very large animal. We don't know exactly what it is. There are scholars throughout the generations that have speculated what it might be. We just call it a Re'em. And this is the water Re'em. Like Rashbam said in the Yomar Aleph, that any animal that you find out here in the Yabasha, you have B'doy Meloy Liyam. So this is the sea version of the Re'em. This is so great, and this is Tanina Magdala.
It's like the Loch Ness.
Loch Ness Monster? Where is that? Near England or something, right?
Scotland.
Yeah. Scotland. Okay. Anyway, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Zeh Levyosin Nochash Briach B'Levyosin Nochash Akalosai. Meaning that there are two Levyosins, as we'll see in a moment in the Pasuk, which the Gemara is going to now quote. One of the Levyosins is quoted in the Pasuk as Levyosin Nochash Briach. The other one is called the Leviosin Nochash Akalosin Shnemar. It says in the pasuk, "Be'emahu Yivkar Hashem Becharbei Hakosha VeGoimer." And the Ikar is the VeGoimer. So those of you that have the Torah or Hasholim on the side, the benefit of which we have because Rav David bought these beautiful Gemaras at the outset of the Daf. So you look at number three, "Be'emahu Yivkar Hashem Becharbei Hakosha VeHagdoila VeHachazaka Aleviosin Nochash Beriach." The Gemara is going to develop more about this as we go into the Gemara. But the point is, the two Taninim, which are mentioned back in Bereishis, those are the two Levyosins, Levyosin Nachash Bereach, and Levyosin Nachash Akalosin. I'll review them around. Everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, in other words, anything, any living being, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created both Zohar and Akeik. After the Vyasa Nachash Bariach, the Vyasa Nachash Akalosain, those are also Zohar on a Keva Biram. Now, which one is the Zohar, which one is in the Keva? Says the Rishbam, Levyasa Nachash Bariach is referring to the Zohar, and the reason why it got this name is Bariach, that it has a straight back and it's erect like a rod. A Bariach is like you have the Brichim in the Mishkan, which are rods or poles. So Rishbam, who Levyasa Zohar, the Zokafu Kibariach, it's straight, just like a rod. What's the Nochash Akalosa? Levyosan Nikeva Shemakim is called Oilam. This is such a large Nochash that it surrounds the whole world, and therefore, how can it surround the world? Apparently, the Gemara and Rishbam knew already at his time that it was a circular world, and therefore, you had the Nochash that goes around, and as a result, it's not such an erect rod, because with the erect rod, it wouldn't be flexible, it wouldn't be able to move. Therefore, it was flexible, and therefore, it was able to go and surround the whole world.
Question, why didn't Hashem make the cable together at the same time? He didn't make them the same.
The two of Yassans?
No, the cable, Adam and the cable.
Adam and Risha and Chava.
Yes, so when Chava was created later,
right.
Hashem didn't make everything,
But she wasn't created separately. The Gemara in the Sechus Chagiga says that Adam and Chava were connected back to back, and it was one individual with two faces.
Right.
One face in the front, one face in the back. And after the Kodesh Baruch Hu went and split it down the middle. So originally they weren't Zoch in the cave of Brahm, but in one being, and after the Kodesh Baruch Hu made two out of it. But anyway, beginning back to Agumar. So that's the Zoch and the cave. The Gemara continues, Vilmolins and Skok and Zelazeth. If they were to live with one another and then have children, Machrim Kalolim Kuloi, then the whole world would become Chorim because it would be populated by these huge, gigantic Levyosans, and therefore there wouldn't be any room for anybody else in the world. So, Sirius is a Zohar. He castrated the Zohar. It shouldn't be able to have children. Vargana Keva, and he killed in the keva, or malchus tzrika baslavai, and went and sold in the keva for future generations. Baslavai shenemar v'horiges atanin asher bayam. Now the question is, why do you have to be misaris the zacher? It would be bad enough, not bad enough. It would be enough just to go and kill the nekeva,
or just castrate him and leave the nekeva.
Good. So let's talk about the second part later. But the first part is, why does Kishbocha have to go and be misaris the zacher? So Shbam says two pshatim. Pshat number one, he says, is because this, if the Kishbocha would leave the zacher and without being misaris it, he would be mezoikik l'shar dogim. In other words, although, of course, if this big levyasin lives with the other female levyasin, it would produce gigantic kids. However, if you have at least the zocher is a levyasin, even if the other one happens to be as small as a herring, but presumably it would also produce a herring very small, and just have the pieces of Christ. Sardines. Can you imagine?
Because he wouldn't stop at a Mrs. Levyasin.
Right. Exactly. If the big levyasin would live with a sardine, it would go and produce tons of gefilte fish. Anyways, it would also be machreb es oilem. So therefore, that's why they have to misaris the zocher. Inami, but the other pshat is more interesting. The Rambam says the heavy late tsar taiva. Kadosh Baruch Hu had rachmonis on the zocher levyasin, that if it would have its full capability of being able to have children and not have anyone to mate with, then he would have a tremendous tsar at taiva a kenish. So therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu is misaris.
Castrate the male and leave the female.
That we're going to talk about in a moment as well. But first, we're analyzing each one at a time. The Moses comes there. Machrim kolam kolam. So Ma'os Kadosh Baruch Hu sees himself with all in the cave. Moses will have Shneimar Baruch Zatana Shabiyah. Good. The Ath Behemois Bahari Olev. They're all to these tremendous Behemois Bahari Olev. What means Bahari Olev? So Rishbam says that these are very very large animals that jump from mountain to mountain and they eat up everything on those mountains. The Rishbam says that it grazes on 1,000 mountains every day. If you look at the Rishbam, Behemis Bahari Olaf, it's parallel to our Gemara here. Pasuku betilim b'mizma liyosef, kili kol chay seyar, Behemis Bahari Olaf, al shem shiroya, elef horim b'chol yem. Every day they graze on 1,000 mountains. So you can see they jump from one to the other, and they eat huge amounts. So, just like the Kadosh Baruch Hu created these huge levyasins, the Kadosh Baruch Hu also created these huge behemoths. And again, Zochan gave Baram. And the same problem once again, Ramali and Zkakam Zel is there. Were they to live with one another? Machrim Kalal Kulai. That's the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Sirei Sazachar, like we had before. But here it doesn't say Baharag Hanakeva, it says Vetzinein Hanakeva. Rather, Kadosh Baruch Hu went and froze the Nakeva, made it frigid, I guess. Bishomra, the Tzadik of Asalavai, and now set it aside for future generations. Shinema. Hina Nakoyichoi, the Masnav, the Zachar, Va'oinai, Bishrirei, Bitnoi, Zunakeva. The same passage that we were quoting, or the psukim after that, says that the Koyach is the Masnav in its loins, and Shrirei Bitnoi means it has Va'oinai. Again, means also, it says by Reuven, Reishis Oinai, means it's Koyach, Bishriya Bitnai, also in its beten, in the, here the Gemara is defining that as womb. So the Gemara means to say, explains Rishbam, is that since the Zohar didn't have an opportunity to live within a keva, the Zohar still retained within it all of the Zera, and therefore it has all the Koyach b'masnav, it never emitted any of that Koyach, it all stayed inside, and the same thing is, her bayim, her eggs never mixed with anything, because she didn't live with her husband, with the other behemoth Bahari Olev, and therefore all its koiches remained inside its womb. Zunikeva. So now, what's the difference between the first story and the second story? The difference is the Gavi, the Levyasans, it says the Kadosh Baruch Hu killed the Nekeva. Here it says the Kadosh Baruch Hu froze the Nekeva. Why don't you go and say, in the first case, why did Kadosh Baruch Hu have to go and kill the levyasin? Kadosh Baruch Hu could simply have frozen levyasin. You have frozen fish. Says the Gemara, dogim peritzi, because dogim happen to be so parutz. In other words, they don't easily go and say, "Okay, I won't engage in relations." And therefore, says Rishbam, dogim peritzi v'lo mahanye b'hutzinan. You can go and freeze them, but unfortunately, somehow they're going to be able to escape the freezer and go and mate and therefore bring many many children on the world. Okay, so let's go and do it the other way around. Let's go and say by the Zohar and the Nekeva, let's go and kill the Zachar, and then let's go and make the Nekeva incapable of having children, make the Nekeva barren. So in other words, instead of castrating the Zachar and killing the Nekeva, just do the opposite. The Gemara Iboy Yisem, a one shot is, this was your kasha before Uri, Iboy Yisem in the Nekeva Malicha Mali, that it's a the Leviosan fish, which is salted, tastes much better than the male fish. The female fish is more delicious than the male fish. The Pasuk says that a Kodesh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol plays with the Leviosan on a daily basis, and if the Leviosan he would play with would be an Akeva, it's Pasnish. Barisham should go and play with an Akeva, but an Akeva, a Baruch Hu. Therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu plays rather with the Zachar, and the Akeva is the one that was killed. Why don't we go and... But we already explained why in the first case, by the Leviosan, we don't go and freeze it, but we go and shecht it. Now, shecht it, the Kodesh Baruch Hu killed it, because they're parrots. Why didn't the Kodesh Baruch Hu do the same thing? Legabe, the case of the Behemoth Bahari Aleph, and instead of freezing the Keva, Kodesh Baruch Hu could have killed in the Keva. Hachanam in the Melecha, in the Keva, everything more, Kava Malicha Mali, Bissar Malicha Le Mali. Fish that has been salted, and therefore it's old, but it's been preserved through salt, that is still delicious, and that's still good. However, old meat which has been salted and preserved with salt is not so good. So therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu prefers going be Moilech, going and salting the fish, but not salting the meat of the Behemoth Bahari Aleph and the Keva. One review on Marat. Bishor Shabikin Kodesh Baruch Hu is Brivis Oilam. Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to go and create the world. Omalog the Sar Shalyam. He said to the Sar Shalyam, Psach Picha Uvla Kol Memesh Ba'olam. Meaning at that time the whole world was flooded, and Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to create earth surface that people should be able to walk around on, and therefore Kodesh Baruch Hu said to the Sar Shalyam, open up your mouth and swallow up all the waters, so that there'll be a lot of earth and surface that people will be able to get around on. Amal of Rabbi Yishlam, the Sar Shalyam said, Rabbi Yishlam, Dai she'emoy bishali, it's enough if I'm just going to drink up my own water. What means my own water? See, if you look at Rishbam, about 10 lines from the bottom, Dai she'ev l'mayim shali, l'hochi k'siv v'yam einenu mole, she'balei o'isam. I'm not going to go and swallow up all the waters, I'm just going to swallow up a portion of the water. And then that'll already be enough, and people will have other parts of the earth that they can walk on. They don't have to have that the entire earth should all be dry, but rather I'm only going to drink up part of the water, not all of it. Kodesh Baruch Hu is not happy with the Sar Shalyam. We had bought by Kodesh Baruch Hu kicked the Sar Shalyam v'hargoy and killed him. Shenemar b'koyche roga hayom uvesvunase mochatz rahav. Now the word over here mochatz means like to go and hit rahav. V'sayis rahav. Amar v'yitzchak shmamina Sar Shalyam rahav shemoy. That the name of the Sar Shalyam is Rahav, and therefore Kodesh Baruch Hu Sanasi Machatz Rahav, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave a patch to the Sar Shalyam by the name of Rahav. The Molim Mayim Mechasano Yisei Inko Ber Yechoy Lamed Berechoy, and the Reach of the dead Sar Shalyam is Geferlich. It's a terrible, terrible stench. Anybody would get near, nobody would be able to survive the terrible stench. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu buried the Sar Shalyam in the water, and the Mayim is now Mechasan Oysa, and that's why you don't go and smell the stench of the Sar Shalyam, because it's muted and diluted by the water. Maybe that's the reason why sometimes you smell seawater, and it smells Geferlich. Maybe because you smell the stench of the Sar Shalyam. Anyway, Shalem says, Bottle Yerevel Yashrisum Chol HaKadshi, and the Pasuk ends off, Kamayim L'Yom Mechasim. I'll take it now. Yom Mechasim, Ella, this Sar Shalyam Mechasim, that the waters are covering over, not over the Yam, but covering over the Sar Shalyam. And the Rishbam explains that that's a logical explanation, because how can you go and say that the water is covering over the Yam? The Yam itself is water. The Yam is water, and the water is water, so water can go and cover water. But if you say that the Yam that we're talking about is the Sar Shalyam, oh, that's what the water is covering. The Yarden comes out of, starts from the Ma'ora of Pamias. Today they call Pamias Banyas, up in the Tzofoin. Even today you can get guided tours, and you go in for a fee, you can go in, and there's a small waterfall over there. The reason why it's called Banyas, because that's the Arabic pronunciation for Pamias, but that's one and the same. And the Yarden emanates from that Ma'ora, and that's where it comes from. Tanam Yochi Yad Yotim Maris Pamyas, Umahalach Biyamishal Sivchi, Ubiyamishal Tveria, Umiskalga Vyard Yabagodl, Miskalga Vyard Achimagila Pipshal Yosim. Meaning that we start off with the yard, and that's the starting point, Maris Pamyas. However, after that, it mixes with other waters, the water of Sivchi, of Tveria, and then it continues going down, rolling down, Liyamagodl to. Yamagod is usually the Mediterranean. Miskalg the Yerdich, Magila Pipshal Yosin, until it gets into the mouth of Yosin, and the Yosin then goes, in a sense, drinks up all or a portion of the Yarden's waters. Shinemach says in the Pasuk, Yiftach ki Yagiach Yarden El Piu. When the Yarden goes into its mouth, the mouth of the Leviosin. If you look at that Pasuk, it's not referring to Leviosin, it's referring to the grace of Behemoth, and you're connecting the two. When can the Behemoth Bari Olaf be batuach that then nothing is going to happen to them, that they're not going to go and die? And as long as the yarn keeps on flowing into the mouth of the Yosin, they know that the world is still going on in its normal pace and its normal length, and therefore they will not die. But if they were to go and see that there's been a diversion of the waters of the yarn, they no longer go into the Yosin, then they have to worry about their lives may be at stake. What's the Hu Al Yam Yisoda, says Rashi, Rishbam, that who is referring to Eretz Yisrael? Kodesh Baruch Hu is Miyasid Eretz Yisrael on Yamim and on Nehoris. Which Yam, which Nehoris? Eilu Shiva Yamim, Va'arbo Nehoris. Shemakifet Eretz Yisrael. Seven oceans and four rivers that surround Eretz Yisrael. Ve'eilu Shiva Yamim, Yamishal Tveri, Yamishal Sdoim, Yamishal Chilas, Yamishal Chiltza, Yamishal Sivchi, Yamis Pamnia, Yamis Godel. Seven altogether. Then in Abba Naharis, what are the four Naharis? Yarden, V'Yarmuch, V'Kiriyom Yoin, U'Fega. By the way, these are not just Aramaic terms. Some of these terms you find in Yecheskel and the Tanakh. So you have these seven Yamim, these four Naharis, that go around Eretz Yisrael. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai.